Good evening. I'd like to welcome you each here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I've entitled this sermon, A Song of Salvation. Song of Salvation, and I'll tell you about a dream I had a little later on, but in this dream, a bunch of us were in a circle singing a song, and it was a song of salvation. And when I thought of that in the dream, I thought of this song that the house of Israel sang when they were delivered from Pharaoh and all his hosts. And so I want to read about that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And this is when God warned the children of Israel that Pharaoh and his hosts would come after them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. So this is when they had already escaped. He let them go. And it's right before he changes his mind to come out after them. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And then Pharaoh and all his chariots of Egypt come out against Israel. And Israel feared Pharaoh and blamed Moses. And that's in verses 7 through 12. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And, you know, so they greatly feared. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you got yourself into a situation, or maybe God wanted you to be in this situation to test your faith. And you just didn't see a way out. And you were ready to jump on the next fleshly idea you had, or worldly idea, I should say, that you had to fix this problem. Well, they wished they had just stayed in Egypt. They didn't have the vision of what God had planned for them. I want to repeat that. They didn't have the vision of what God had planned for them. So Moses encouraged Israel to put their faith in God, and that's in verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I want you all to remember that the next time you're in a situation that you don't see any way out, and you fear and you doubt and you worry, remember this promise that Moses gave to them while Pharaoh was upon them. The faith of Moses. Okay, so now I want to go ahead and turn to Exodus 15, verses 1 through 19. And this is after God saved them. And this is the song they sang of praise to him. Remember, they were just in fear. Moses told them to have faith. They did. They obeyed. They obeyed what God told Moses to do, and they did it. And then this is their song of praise for his salvation, that he had saved them from destruction. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare an habitation, a place for God in my heart. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord, he fights for us. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." We have an enemy, the devil, who seeks our destruction daily. But we have the Lord who fights for us. 7. "And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, 'I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow thy wind with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And here, their song goes into prophecy because it talks about what the Lord will now do for them. And it says, then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. And this is what God eventually did through them as he fought their battles for them. Verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And I can't help but just think of all this metaphor here in us and our salvation, and that he has purchased us through the blood of Christ, and that we have a promised land, that eternal land, that eternal place with him in heaven. And he is for us, and he's fighting for us. He's not against us and wanting to condemn us. He's wanting to save us. That's why we have a Savior. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. What an amazing miracle God did for them, because they had faith in him in the moment. They originally didn't. They feared and doubted. But then they placed their faith in him, and he performed his work. So then they go out into the wilderness, and their doubts and fears start up again, and their trials, and they choose wrong. And he deals with them for 40 years in the wilderness to build them up, to build their faith, so that they'd be ready to cross over in that promised land. Once again, a metaphor of us throughout life, and we fall, and we get up, and we place our faith again in God. And he's preparing us for that heavenly place. So let's turn now for an example of their unbelief to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. And to give you kind of context on this, Moses had already gotten the Ten Commandments, you know, and while he was up there, they went into unbelief. They told Aaron to make him a god, and he made them a golden calf, and they worshiped this golden, you know, fell into unbelief and sin. They disobeyed his commandments. Why? That's an evidence of our unbelief. When we obey his commandments, that's evidence of our belief in Christ. And so, they got to this point where Moses, God tells Moses to tell them to go up and search out the land, and that he's going to give them. So starting in verse 21, it says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." And ye came near it. Okay, let me give you some more context here. So this, here in Deuteronomy 1, this is actually after the fact. And Moses is recounting their whole 40 years to them. They're on the east side of Jordan. And they're getting ready to cross over. And Moses doesn't get to cross over. And all the people who disobeyed and fell into unbelief didn't get to cross over. But he's preparing them to cross over. And so he's going back through the history of their unbelief and how God was always faithful. And so at this point, Moses is reminding them of what God commanded them to do, and then their unbelief, their disobedience and unbelief. So, starting again in verse 21, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us, notwithstanding ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. The sons of the Anakims were known as giants. And so all they could see was giants. All they could do was fear. So they had this great promise that God had made them. And they saw that the fruit of the land was good. But instead of having faith, they feared. They feared the giants in the land. Verse 29, "Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you." Remember, he's saying the same thing that he said when they were faced with Egypt, with Pharaoh and the hosts right on their backs. And they learned the salvation of God. They knew the salvation of God. But yet, they turned to that old man. And they feared again. Okay, 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you that which way you should go, and in cloud by day. And of course, that's the pillar of fire by night that guided them wherever they should go. And we have the word of God for that. And the cloud did the same thing by day, showed them what to do, whether to stay or to go. And we have that too. We have the word of God and we have the Holy Ghost. We have the fire, the Holy Ghost, and the cloud, the word of God, to guide us in every step we make. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And he was one, I think it was both he and Joshua, who both said, let's have faith in God when this event happened, when God told them to go search out the land and to go possess it. And those two had faith. And so they received this promise. They had faith. And they received this promise of a promised land. Save Caleb, verse 35. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. And that's I think that was because he struck the rock when God hadn't told him to do it. Okay. I lost my place. And he. Okay. Surely it was Caleb angry. Okay. Verse 38. But Joshua, so here's where Joshua is given the promise. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So they were innocent. The children were innocent at that time, and they had these evil leaders, because of their unbelief, had said that the Anakims and the Amorites would kill their children And so God gave a promise to their children that they would possess the land. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Actually, I'm going to end there. And so, so they entered in. That was part of the provocation, their unbelief in God, and doing it their way. And we often do that. And but he continues, because of his love for us and his desire for us, he continues to encourage us to get faith, to get back on the path, on his road. Okay, so now I'm going to turn over to Deuteronomy 4. So I want to tell you, Deuteronomy 1, 2, and 3, it's going through this entire history. Moses reminding them of their unbelief, and then when God would once again fight for them. You know, and he does that. He does that. He continues to fight for us, even when we've lacked faith. And that's what gives us that faith back. That's what fills us with his love, because we know we're undeserving. So then in verse 1 of Deuteronomy, Moses gives Israel these commandments. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. In other words, have faith in him, and evidence your faith. You believe what he told you. That you believe in him, that you believe in his power, that you believe that he's going to fight for you. Evidence that by doing what he said. Ye shall, read it again, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And that's why we have the written word of God. It's written down so that, I mean, if it was a spoken tradition, we would add to it. We would take away from it. But we have what I called earlier the cloud. You know, in this instance, a cloud told them what, gave them each step. The word of God gives us each step, and it tells us precisely what we should do. That's why we don't change the word of God to our liking, because it's his word, and it's firm and stable. Their sin was evidence of their unbelief. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 through 19. And this is the author, because I don't think we know who the author is. of Hebrews. I may be wrong about that. But the author of the Hebrews, of course, compares the Old Testament, because it's written to the Hebrews, or the house of Israel. The author compares the Old Testament and the law with Christ and the law of Christ, or his gospel. And so here he talks about the provocation of Israel. And so I'll begin in verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence or faith and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So that's another example of where it talks about this faith isn't just one declaration one day, or having faith one day. It is having faith every single day of our life. When we fall, get back up. When we lose faith, seek it again. Seek Christ again. Okay, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. And that's what I was talking about. Every day, we need to seek him. We need to have faith in him when we're faced with our trials and our temptations. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another, encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence or our faith steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Who had said earlier, who didn't believe? Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we have a commandment to come boldly to the throne of Christ as partakers of Christ, as believers in him. And that's in that next next chapter, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Let me explain that a little bit. A high priest In the Old Testament, once a year took an unspotted lamb into the Holy of Holies, where only he could enter, and he had to be cleansed to do it. And he took it in for the purpose of sacrificing for the sins of the people. And only the high priest could do that. And Christ was not only the high priest, he offered up a sacrifice, but he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the sacrifice. He took the place of the lamb that couldn't blot out our sins for an eternity. The high priest had to go in every year. But Christ once went in for our sins, and he offered himself up, a holy sacrifice to God. An amazing thing that he did. And you know, that was an awful sacrifice. But he did it out of his love for you and I. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is our profession? Christians. It's not talking about here CPA or, IT tech. It's talking about our identity as believers and who we believe in and who we allow to use us and live through us. Hold fast our profession, that faith in Christ. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You have a temptation? You think you're the only one? No, Christ suffered that. And that's how he knows how to help you when you're tempted. And so it says, there's this double negative here. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses. It's saying we do have a high priest that is touched, has been touched with our weaknesses. He has been tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he knows the way of escape, and he wants us to help us escape from our sins. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I want to share with you a dream that I had on March 28th, 2020, and I think it relates to this whole sermon. I was leading a large group within a much larger group in an auditorium. Some of our group wanted to sing a song that they had learned. Many were excited to sing and stood up and pressed forward to sing with the group that was singing. All of us were standing and holding hands during the song. I had my eyes closed. When I opened them at the end of the song, I noticed that there was a man standing in front of me, trying to get my attention. He had lights all over his clothing, like glitter. He had There were others near him that had lights like glitter all over them. Their intention, just like his, was to distract from the fact that those who were singing were leaving the auditorium. I knew that I needed to follow them out of the auditorium, so I got away from the man that was trying to distract me. As I worked my way through the auditorium, I gained faith that I was going to make it to the exit of the auditorium, which then I recognized as salvation. Before I reached the door, I was caught by invisible cords that kept me from reaching the door. Nevertheless, this did not deter my faith, but challenged me to search for a way around the cords, a way of escape. I was able to escape and reach the door, and then I woke up. And so I have some interpretations and some thoughts concerning the dream. What was the song? The song, I knew it was a song of salvation, praise to God for salvation. And that's what made me think of Moses and the house of Israel as they sang praise to God for saving them from the from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And so just like Israel, that was kind of the beginning. So, you know, when you repent, let's start at the beginning. When God reaches you with his love that DA talked about this morning, and you recognize your worthlessness before him. I mean, not your worthlessness that you weren't worthy of being saved, but that you're nothing without him. Your nothingness. And you recognize that his great love for dying for you. That is what I'm talking about when the song of salvation that and you're in obedience. You believe in him, you read his word, you find out that he wants you to be baptized. And so there's this beginning of the path. And you just have a song on your heart of his salvation and praise to him that you know suddenly you were worth being saved. And you out of this joy that and this love that's flowing out of you, you encourage others, and others are encouraged to sing that song of salvation. They're encouraged to read his word. They're encouraged to pray and to study the word with others, and they're encouraged to be baptized in the name of Christ. And so anyway, I remember that all of us were standing and holding hands during this song. There was a unity, a founding on the gospel of Christ. The auditorium was the world. And so not everybody in the auditorium was there singing the song of salvation. Only some of us, only those who had that desire to. The people in the auditorium were people in the world, people on the earth. The people with lights like glitter all over their clothing they represented various forms of distractions and temptations. They were meant to occupy the time of the people that they were seeking to distract. So like me, I was worshiping God. I opened my eyes and I suddenly saw that one of these glittery people that represented temptation and distractions that intended to take my time and to distract me from worshiping God. Temptation's intent was to separate me from other believers who were keeping God's commandments. I fled and escaped temptation. I separated myself from it. So I think that's what we're supposed to do. You know, when we see a temptation, we need to flee it and resist it, get away from it. Leaving the auditorium with salvation, I said that earlier. As I worked my way through the auditorium, there were obstacles, those temptations, those distractions, sadness, fear, And this reminded me, we had a camp for all ages, and Brother Daniel Malone used a maze as an example. And, you know, the maze, there were all these different ways you could go, but then there was just one straight path across. And at the end was salvation. There were all these things to tempt us along the way, but if we stayed by faith in Christ on the path, we would reach that salvation. Obedience causes success. When we believe God and we do what he said, there's joy in that, and there's reward in it, because when we do what he says, well, he said to do it because he knows what's good for us. And so that good comes from doing what he says. Obedience causes success and an increase in faith. It helps our faith to grow in the assurance of salvation. Salvation is assured to those who have faith till the end, to those who evidence that faith by doing what he said. I was caught by these invisible cords, and I want to read a little bit about cords. Second book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 88. Second book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 88. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. So there are things in this life that are pleasurable to us, but they are sin, they are iniquity. And when we seek those things rather than resist them and escape them, then those cords begin to wrap around us. And the devil wants to use those cords, becomes addiction. And then the devil wants to use those cords to destroy us, to take us down to hell. 2 Nephi chapter 11, verses 92 through 96. And there were many churches built up which cause envyings and strife, these cords. They're temptations that sometimes we don't notice it until we're in it quite a ways. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice, and there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all those things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness, yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord. And so these things, envying, strifes, malice, secret combinations, these things are all examples of those cords. It says, the devil leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them down with his strong cords forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth nothing, not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his life, that he may draw all men unto him. So he doesn't do things in secret. So if you're doing things in secret because you know it's wrong, that's one of those flaxen cords that the devil wants to use to take you down to destruction. But God does things in the open. And he brings light when we follow him. Okay. So these invisible cords are unseen powers or temptations that intentionally try to deter us from salvation. This battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but it's against one single enemy, the devil. My strengthened faith helped me to escape the cords and make it to the door, salvation. Our obedience to Christ is our response to him, that we believe in him and in what he tells us to do, that is good for us. Okay, so finally, I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for salvation. And we have faith in Christ, and it's evident by what we do. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Him working in our lives. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what is faith? It's believing in God and believe that he will reward us if we do what he said to do. We'll feel his presence. We'll feel his strength. We'll see his work, mighty works in our lives. And so we have some examples of that through this chapter 11. We have examples of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, etc. Many people who had faith and showed a good report because of it. What's that mean? They did what God wanted them to do. God performed miracles in their lives to his honor and glory. They did the will of God by their faith in him. And so finally, I want to read the next two verses in the next chapter. Because we have these examples of faith, and you have time on your own to go through and read exactly what God did through them. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's that mean? All these people we just listed, Abraham, Moses, Sarah, Rahab, all these people who did amazing things because they had faith in Christ, we have them as witnesses. That is true, that the word of God is true. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that bring us down. Let's lay aside those temptations and sins, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, go back to Israel and their race, 40 years in the wilderness to reach the promised land. And the race that is set before us is to spend an eternity with the love of our Savior. And give that love to others now by living that faith. Run with patience. Patience, why? Because there's all these trials of our faith, and there's fears in the process, and there's doubt, and there's sin and there's temptation, and we need to overcome by faith and with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he's the one that wrote it. The plan for our lives, the race that is set before us, and he's the one that will finish it for us by giving us the strength, giving us the word through the word of God and through the Holy Ghost, giving us everything we need to complete the race. Who, for the joy that was set before him, and this is what he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God in victory. And that's our victory if we remain faithful to the end. May God bless each of you.